Houston, say again, please.
Houston, we've had a problem. We've had a main beam bus undervolt.
Roger, main beam undervolt. Okay, stand by, 13, we're looking at it.
You know those voices, don't you? Those will remain ingrained in our historical brains for generations to come. 710, good morning. I'm Greg Jarrett. I asked the question earlier, can you name the astronauts on STS-135? Well, here they are. Chris Ferguson, Doug Hurley, Rex Walheim, and Sandy Magnus. Right now, Sandy Magnus is giving an interview. Let's see if I can actually bring this up. They're live from the space station. NASA is broadcasting some media questions here. You should see Sandy.
With the duck boat killing two Hungarian students.
That's actually, for some reason, it's not coming up there right now. But anyway, it's great because you see the picture of Sandy and her hair. She's got a nice head of hair on her down to her shoulders, and it's just all over the space station there. It's just fluffed out. Two guys who know what that feels like. Astronaut Jim Lovell at his home in the northern suburbs. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I wish I had hair that could flow out in weightless conditions like that.
I wish I was up there to see it.
I wish we all were. Gene Cernan, astronaut at home in Texas. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Gene.
I'm in the hill country. I bet you wish you were here.
It's too hot down there.
It is hot, I'll tell you. I listen to that weather forecast. In Chicago, you folks got a cold wave up there.
Yeah, you've got a drought going on there, so you're somewhere between San Antonio and Austin, huh?
Well, west of San Antonio, yeah.
Okay.
But only for a day. I got to go back to Houston this afternoon.
And that's where it all takes place. The astronauts, of course, like to hang out between River Oaks and League City, Texas, where they do some training, and they go. You guys are going to be getting together in the next couple of weeks here in our area in Oshkosh. Tell me a little bit about that, Gene.
Well, you know, every year it's become one of the biggest aviation conglomerates of general aviation. People will go out there for weeks at a time. You know, I say 8-10 days at a time, fly their little airplane, take their kids, make a 7-day picnic out of it. There's big things, little things for everybody. And Jim and I, we go out there, I think, quite often. And this year we've been invited to give a little scenario about naval aviation, because it's 100 years now since that first carrier landing where naval aviation began.
And Jim, of course, you guys are also going to introduce the movie Apollo 13 at the big theater there at Oshkosh this year. Tell us about that.
Well, I've done that before, and I guess we're going to see it again. It's only been around for about 15 years now, so.
Yeah,
but it still gets young people excited, and that's the way we want it.
Young people excited about a space program that doesn't really exist anymore. We talked about this a couple of times in the past couple of years. Both of you have been on this program. Let me ask you first, Jim, is the space program at a place where kids in third grade are no longer going to be telling their teachers they want to become astronauts?
No, I think that the young children still are enamored and look at our space program. I think Gene and I's problem is the fact that, you know, it's sort of in a demise now, and it won't keep as exciting the young people to become good citizens and get good careers, because that's what it had done in the past. I meet a lot of people now in their 50s and late 40s that said, hey, we watched you guys when I was just a kid, and it really got me excited to do something, like an engineer or something like that.
Gene, how about you? How do you feel the youth of America is looking at the space program today? As I said earlier, I don't know how many of them could name the astronauts who are up with STS-135 right now.
Well, you know, I've always said the big freebie out of space is education. It's an inspirational thing. It's a follow-on. You know, the reason the rest of us have in aviation and aviation and space is so excited is because it's the legacy of the Wright brothers, and here we are today. And I think Jim's right on. We see 40- and 50-year-old people, hate to admit we're that old, that say, when I was a kid, I became a doctor, a scientist, an engineer, or whatever, because of you guys. Well, it wasn't because of us. It was because of what the country's doing. And unfortunately, regardless of all the spin you may hear coming out of Washington, America, the United States, and people are beginning to realize that, is not going to have the ability to get back into space for some number of years in the future unless we find a way to keep the shuttle operating, either commercially or on a once or twice a year basis. And I think people are beginning to understand, hey, wait a minute, what's happening? I hear it from all over the place.
Jim and Gene, you both are products of Naval Aviation Today. There's a place outside of Las Vegas, Nevada, that the Air Force runs where the new pilots are flying essentially video games of drones that are doing things a half a world away. Does that aviation excite you, Jim, or does that kind of worry you a little bit about taking the pilot out of the equation?
Well, it certainly doesn't excite me, but I guess it's inevitable that we're going to have unmanned airplanes on aircraft carriers, and it's probably the demise of the naval aviator, but those are the golden days, and I'll never forget them.
Gene, what are you looking forward to most at Oshkosh? I mean, what airplane is going to grab you when you get up there for the big air show?
Well, it's always kind of a lot of big airplanes, little airplanes, big airplanes. Just the fact that you everything from the old World War II, you know, you hear those rotary engines of the old airplanes, the Corsairs, and then the Mustangs all the way up. I think the 787 is going to be there this year. And that ought to be interesting to see. It's a whole new concept, you know, and anything that flies is exciting. Aviation, naval aviation has been my life all my life. That's the only reason I'm here today, quite frankly. And I'm a little more optimistic than Jim. I've always said that, you know, you can't ever take the human intelligence out of the system. Every one of us who landed on the moon or went to the moon had a chance to hit a switch that said auto, but none of us did. And the decisions that were made on a spot at the time were made by human beings with the intelligence that God gave us. So I think we'll always be part of the equation.
Well, I'm hoping to see both of you at Oshkosh. I'll be making the trip up again this year, and maybe we can get together and talk like we have on the radio so many times. That's from July 25th through 31st. Gene, are you flying yourself up this year?
Pardon?
Are you going to fly yourself up this year?
Well, I'm flying up with a friend of mine, a gentleman that Jim knows from Austin, from Georgetown, Texas. And so I'm going to be there from Wednesday afternoon through Saturday morning. And there's more than enough of events that are going to give us an opportunity to get around and see people. So I do hope I get a chance to talk to you.
Jim, you're going to make the drive, or are you going to fly up?
Well, I'm going to make the drive up this time. I've flown up before, and it's really quite a thrill to get in the landing pattern with about 1,000 other airplanes.
Yeah, it's a little too exciting for me. I'm taking the train to Milwaukee and driving from there. So.
Yeah. Hey, Greg, you know, it's always interesting for me to get back to Oshkosh because I grew up in the Chicago suburbs. Grandparents had a farm up there in Antigo, Wisconsin. And my dad and I used to drive through Oshkosh, Fond du Lac. That's old. Whole hometown country to me.
As a kid, when I lived in Beloit, I remember my dad taking me for flights, and we would fly over to Oshkosh. It wasn't quite as busy then as it's going to be this a couple of weekends from now.
Well, it's really growing into something big time for aviation, and there's something there for everybody. As I said earlier, Mom and Dad will fly their little bonanza up there and camp out for a week, and there's something for kids, for grown-ups. It's the attraction, the excitement, the inspiration of aviation that brings people there, and that's never going to change.
You guys have been to the moon, and it still makes the hair stand up on the back of your neck. So imagine someone who just putters around in the backyard. Well, it's going to be fun. We'll see you guys up there.
We'll see you. Take care.
Okay, Jim Lovell.
Look forward to it. Jim, I'll see you in a couple days.
Okay.
Blue skies, gentlemen.